It's Monday, November 30th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Hey, everyone, I got a great show for you, and yes, I'm on the road, and going to have a lot to talk about, so strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go flight.
Microphone.
We're go flight.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go flight.
Interflux Todism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There's no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the great state of Texas via my portable recording studio. Hey everyone, of course, my name is Todd Cochran. I want to welcome you to the Geek News Central podcast. I want to make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out our archive podcast available via the podcast link on the website. Coming to you today from Central Texas, and it's cold here. Much different atmosphere than leaving sunny and bright Honolulu at 85. And this morning when I walked out of the hotel, it was a, some of you are going to laugh, a brisk 41 degrees. But you can understand, my blood is thin. It's really thin. It's from years of being, you know, being spoiled of living in Hawaii. Feels cold, and I don't like the cold at all. And I'm sure many of you are going to laugh at me and say, come on, Todd. As a matter of fact, I saw a Twitter post this morning. Come on, Todd, you grew up in Michigan. Why are you complaining about the cold? Well, I haven't lived there in 25 years or more. And so it's chilly for me. But anyway, as always, Texas is wonderful, and going to be here this week. Lots of meetings going on, and talk a bit about that more here in a second. But, of course, I want to welcome all the new listeners to the Geek News Central podcast. And if you're checking out the show for the first time, I want to encourage you to get subscribed to the show. You can do that via the RSS feed on the website at geeknewscentral.com. You can, of course, subscribe via iTunes, Zoom Marketplace, or you can do via your mobile phone, Stitcher, or any of the other great apps out there that are designed to essentially consume podcasts. And just look for Geek News Central, get subscribed, and then get the show delivered automatically to your mobile device or even your media player so that you can take me with you wherever you go and listen when you want to. That's a great thing about podcasting. You don't have to listen live. You can listen, you know, post-show, kind of DVR style. I want to give a warm welcome, of course, to all of the Ohana. This show is normally, of course, recorded in Honolulu, Hawaii. And in Hawaii, Ohana is a strong term for family. And I want to give a warm welcome to the family of listeners out there, part of all of the Ohana. And thanks for staying subscribed and being a big supporter here. I want to welcome listeners from 160 countries worldwide. That's how many countries we're hitting right now. While some of those countries maybe only have two or three listeners, we are hitting that many. It's pretty exciting to see that number. And hopefully we'll continue to grow that. You can do that by sharing the show information with friends, families, people in overseas so that they can get up to speed on the latest tech news and what's going on in the tech space. Well, sign up for our newsletter. That'll keep you abreast of everything in the show as well. The show notes are delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. Contains everything I'm going to talk about tonight. Kind of cool today. I'm basically, you know, being able to not only record the show really at an earlier time, but those of you that are in the are able to watch via Ustream. And this is a little different setup that I have when I travel with. I travel with two laptops, one running an application called VidBlaster that essentially ties right into the Ustream port, and I'm able to push really video via my just a little mini Logitech webcam. I can switch cameras if I want to, but this webcam tonight is all whited out, so we're gonna stay over on this webcam for the evening. I have too many lights on the room, I guess. But those of you that are subscribed to get the audio portion of the show, hey, you're the primary motivation behind the show, and thanks for staying subscribed. Okay, let me talk a little bit about what's going on here. I had a late night flight out of Honolulu Saturday night. Got into Texas I flew into Denver, and then from Denver I flew into DFW. I got my rental car, rented from Enterprise, and I think I am done renting cars from Enterprise. I had rented a midsize, and they don't have a quote-unquote a midsize car. They have an intermediate. And my opinion, based upon having rented from Hertz, Alamo, National, and other rental cars over the past couple of years, their intermediate at Enterprise was like a piece of trash, 30,000-mile. In other words, I got a car I really am not happy with, an intermediate, and I was expecting a midsize. It's more like a subcompact. I don't know if you'd call a Ford Focus a subcompact, but I had 10 cars to choose from, all Ford Focuses. And I told the lady, I says, I'm probably not going to rent from you guys again, paying mid-size prices for a subcompact. It's not going to happen. But anyway, got out of DFW, got on I-35, started headed south, and probably about 40 minutes into the trip, I ran into... And it was Sunday by this time, Sunday afternoon, so all of the holiday folks were headed home, and the highways were full, and it was raining and a little dreary, and somewhere way up in front of me, an accident had happened, and I-35 came to a screeching halt. So as I sat there contemplating my drive, because I had a pretty long drive, my plan was to drive down to Austin. Because I had meetings, well, actually I had meetings today in Austin. So a couple days in Austin, then drive back up to Dallas instead of flying into Austin, getting a rental car. Then, basically I wanted to end up back in Dallas. And so anyway, I'm agonizing because I know I've got at least a three-hour drive. And not real happy with the traffic situation, so I got my GPS and I started playing with it and looking for side roads, and I figured out that, okay, if I can make it to the next exit, I can exit and I can go back roads, and I may have to go an extra, 20 miles out of my way, but it looked like pretty smooth sailing. And I figured I would go a certain distance and then jump back on the highway, even though I didn't know where the accident was. And took a gamble, and as soon as I could get off the highway, I did, and it was the best decision that I have made, because, matter of fact, what was funny was as soon as I jumped off, basically about a quarter mile from the exit, I jumped into the median and went to the exit. And the guy that was behind me, he must have seen me messing with my GPS, because he hopped right along in behind me and followed me. And before I knew it, we had like 7 cars that were in tow, and apparently figuring out that I knew where to go and they didn't. And I really was taking a roll of the dice. But about 45 minutes later, I jumped on the highway and right down I-35 I went, smooth sailing. A couple of the cars chickened out, and they had turned around because we kind of really did go back roads. But clear back roads, and at 70 miles per hour, it was a beautiful thing. And when I got on the highway, all the guys behind me that were tagging along passed me and gave me the thumbs up and honked the horn, and we all laughed, and everyone else was stuck in traffic. So it was cool. I'm down here in a Homewood Suites, brand new hotel, and the manager has done his homework, because I arrived and they welcomed me and got my key and went to the room. This place has only been open a couple of weeks. Got up in the room, everything was good, everything was fine. And then tonight, after I got back from my meetings, phone rang, and the manager said, "Hey, would you want to come down, and we're having a little dinner?" I said, "No, I got to do some work." He didn't know he had to do this show, but he actually offered to bring up some food to me, and I thought that was cool. And make a long story short, we chatted a little bit. He asked me what I liked about the hotel and if I had any complaints. And, of course, you know me. I always complain about broadband. And I told him about, having done a speed test and told him that his speeds were marginal and that if he wanted to get a lot of repeat business customers, you know, fork over that extra money and get that internet speed up. And we talked quite a little bit, and he agreed with me, so we'll see what happens. We'll see if they get the speed up. First time a manager's ever called, and here's the little thing. He said something during our conversation that he would have known no other way unless he had Googled me and Googled maybe Hilton. But the guy did his homework. I was really, really impressed. I was. Being I stay 60 to 70 days a year in a hotel, you know, he understands I do a lot of business with Hilton, so he was a smart, smart manager. Okay, got my new Sprint card, and tonight it's not plugged into the internet. The stream tonight is being done by a Verizon card, and here's why. The new Sprint card I got, and I talked about it on the last show, is a dual capability, WiMAX or 4G and 3G capable. And I got it, had it in the box, kind of waited all weekend. Saturday, I made the call, did the switch over, so I got this activated. Big mistake. This is a piece of junk. The Sprint U300 card, J-U-N-K, junk, junk, junk. I was getting, with my old card, 1.5 megs down and 750 up in Honolulu. With this card, now here, I was getting 1.5 meg down and 700 up. With this card, I was getting 500 meg down and 300K. Yeah, 500 meg down, 300K up. 1.5 meg down, 700K up before, yeah. Horrible, horrible performance. I am not happy with this card at all. They're going to turn on WiMAX December 1st, which is in hope tomorrow. I will not be in Honolulu to test it, but Sprint and I are going to have words over this card. This is a piece of junk. So any of you that are looking to get a U300 from Sprint, you guys know I've had nothing but good things to say about Sprint up to this point. It kicks the butt out of Verizon at all times except now, and it's this card, because I wasn't getting this type of performance out of my other card. So fair warning to everyone there. We'll see. I'll let you know what happens with that. Hey, congratulations to GoToMyPC winner Julie Anderson. Her husband Ronald listens to the show. She is from Sandusky, Ohio, and any of you been to Sandusky, Ohio, you know Cedar Point is in that area. But Julie is was facing some challenges, and this kind of came at a good time because her husband Ronald said, "Well, why don't you download GoToMyPC?" Todd was talking about it on his show. And let's see if your boss will let you basically install the application at work so that over the next week when you need to stay home, see if your boss will let you work from home. And she really didn't think her boss would let her do that, but she went to work, explained to her boss what she wanted to do. She says, you know, I can be at my desk all day, forward my phone from the desk, from my desk, from my desktop phone to my cell phone. I'll be logged in via GoToMyPC at the house. I'll work all day. I have some issues with the kids. I don't want to take any PTO. And her boss said, "Well, that's a great idea." She says, he was kind of mind-boggled that she could do that easily. And she worked for 5 days at home with GoToMyPC on her local computer, tied into her work machine, doing everything she did right on her work machine, and without having to, you know, pick up the desktop or something crazy like that. Boss was happy. She got paid her regular work. She didn't have to take no PTO off. She's able to take care of the kids. This is the way this product's supposed to be used, and this is a great example. So, Julie, congratulations. You get 90 days free on me. It's a $19.95 value per month. So, hey, see if you can get your boss to let you stay home more. If any of you guys want to try to work this with your boss, you can get a free 30-day demo at gotomypc.com/podcast. Hey, that was the best way, really, for this to work out. And Ronald, thanks for turning your wife onto this. And he was pretty ecstatic because he was like, yeah, I didn't have to take any time off, blah, 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 blah. So very, very good. Okay, let's talk about Podcast Awards. That voting is closing tonight. Here in a few hours, voting is going to get shut down. So if you are listening via the live stream, make sure you get over and get your last votes in. And then the award ceremony, of course, is going to happen on 12 December. That's going to be the same time as the 24-hour podcast. We'll have a 90-minute segment in the 24-hour podcast slated for the Podcast Awards ceremony. I did pick a charity. If any of you have been over to geeknewscentral.com, you'll have seen the charity I picked out. I picked out Ronald McDonald House Charities. And really the reason for that is as you all know, when I lost my father to a car accident, my sister's daughter, my niece, was in the vehicle with him. She was severely injured, spent many, many days or weeks and actually several months in intensive care. And my sister and her husband could not have afforded to really pay out of pocket to stay in a local motel. They were going to be there irregardless if they had to sleep on the floor or whatever, but the Ronald McDonald House in Indianapolis, next to the Children's Hospital, essentially for a very, very small fee per day, they got a room with a couple of beds, access to communal areas, they could cook food. The charities would bring in food and cook for the families. So this year my charity is Ronald McDonald House, and we're going to start receiving donations immediately for this. Tonight in the show notes there will be a link to PayPal with a specific code to basically indicate that the donation is for Ronald McDonald House. Every dollar that we bring in for this will be turned over to Ronald McDonald House Charities. You can follow Ronald McDonald House Charities on Twitter, RMHC, and let you know, make sure you Twitter that this is going to be happening. This is the charity that we're going to support, and I hope that all of you can come through with your generous donations. Let's see if we can top last year's money. I'd like to raise over $3,000 this year, if all possible. And so anyway, if anyone wants to do any challenges or anything like that, geeknews@gmail.com. Okay, folks, give me a jingle and on the voicemail hotline if you have comments on tonight's show, +1-619-342-7365. geeknews@gmail.com is the email address, geeknews@gmail.com. Those of you that are in a rush and want to go over to PayPal and PayPal me a donation for Ronald McDonald House, you can do that. podcast@podcastconnect.com is the PayPal. Again, podcast@podcastconnect.com is my PayPal address. Hey, let's take care of a few bills here. Hey, GoDaddy.com. Have I got some savings for you this today during the show? You guys may have gotten, if any of you are a GoDaddy customer, you may have gotten some emails from GoDaddy saying, hey, we got some special promotions over the holidays. If you missed it, go to my webpage at geeknewscentral.com, click on the GoDaddy promo code links, and you'll find a list of codes there to use for your purchases over at GoDaddy.com. If you're picking up a domain name, virtual dedicated server, shared hosting account, whatever it may be, even non-domain products, when you get to that checkout counter, try the code that's most appropriate for the purchase that you're making and save big bucks. ComSale will get you .coms at $7.49. Todd20 will save you 20% on one-year shared hosting accounts. Todd will save you 10%. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. So thanks for GoDaddy for being a continued sponsor here at Geek News Central. Hey, one thing we'll also be doing during the during the 24-hour podcast is we'll be doing our annual Christmas roundtable where we'll be talking about what we think are the hottest tech items for Christmas. So if you haven't done any Christmas shopping yet, on the 12th of December at 4 o'clock Eastern, we'll have our roundtable, our Christmas special. Usually that we dig for some good stuff, so hopefully you'll tune into that. Of course, that event is sponsored by GoToMeeting, and really I want to take a moment to tell you about some of the cool features of GoToMeeting. You can start a meeting with one click. You can use it on your Mac. You can change instantly between different presenters. For example, if I'm doing a meeting with you, I can hand off to you, and you can show me your desktop screen and multiple individuals at one time. True 24-bit color, chat function, recording and playback. You don't have to pick up a telephone and call. You basically use the voice IP service that's available through it. There's some pretty cool drawing tools as well. Because you're a listener of this show, you can get a free 30-day trial of GoToMeeting by going to GoToMeeting.com /tech podcast. GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. Again, get that free 30-day unlimited meeting trial. GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. Thanks for GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at Geek News Central, and all of our sponsors. A big thanks to them as we wrap up this month. Okay, got a lot of stuff for you tonight on the show, and didn't have any voicemail comments come in. Did have some emails come in over the Thanksgiving holiday. I hope you guys all had fun with friends and family members. I hope that everyone had a safe trip back to their residencies if you traveled. And, of course, we had a Thanksgiving show. Those of you that may have been on the go, make sure you double-check iTunes that you picked up the last show. If you've missed the last one, make sure you click it to download it and set iTunes to download all shows. That's an important thing. If you miss a few shows, it's very possible that iTunes will no longer download this podcast. So go into iTunes settings and make sure you're getting all the podcasts that have been released. First article up on the tech side tonight. Let's get right into it here. Top mobile web products for 2009 over on readwriteweb.com. They have an annual tradition of putting out a best of post for every year. And this is one of their first posts that they put up. And they've rated the Facebook iPhone application as their top app for 2009, followed by Tweety 2, and then a bunch of different apps for the Android as well. So this is a great rundown of different apps. You may or may not already have them loaded on your mobile device. This is a good, worthy read. I have this linked up in the show notes for you. You can check it out over at readwriteweb.com. Hey, news out of TechCrunch today. Boy, oh boy, Michael Arrington bared his soul. Apparently the Crunch Pad, which has been development now for a significant amount of time, they had some sort of a huge breakdown with the partners that were helping them put that device together, and it's fell completely through. They say that Michael Arrington has said that the Crunch Pad is dead, that the the product has the effort to bring the product to market has been destroyed by simple greed, and that the folks that they were developing it with decided to try to go alone and completely strong-arm Michael Arrington out. This was after, as he puts it, now this is Michael's side of the story, how there was active development help by Intel and a variety of other vendors to help them make this thing a success and work, and gave discount pricing. Major vendors were ready to help bring this online at very low cost and not have a huge markup in it. But boy, he bears a soul here, and the tech blogs have not been nice to Arrington at all over this. And a lot of people, I think, are like, ha ha ha, I would like to see the big man go down. But, you know, you have to really think, anyone that is putting their heart and soul into any type of product or any business, you got to feel for him no matter what. You know, if he's a business smart, savvy guy. I'm sure he had this thing all lawyered up with lots of contracts. I'm sure he had all that stuff in place. And for, I'm sure we're going to hear the other side of the story, but to try to be doing something evolutionary and have it killed because of what he implies is greed, it really makes you have to sit back and go, they didn't have big goals on this. They knew that it was going to be a number of people that would want this in the beginning. And we're going to use, the geek factor to build a following behind it. So we'll see what happens with this. I'm sure what's going to happen is someone's probably going to step up and lawyer this to death, and maybe someday we'll see the Crunch Pad come into existence. And maybe he doesn't have to do that. Maybe Google's, what they're projecting here with the Google OS will, do everything that the Crunch Pad, the goals with the Crunch Pad. I don't know. We'll see. So that's the at least the word on the street about the Crunch Pad over at techcrunch.com. Talk a little bit here about the weekend sales report. Vendors are saying that there was about 11% increase over last year in sales. I think $598 billion was spent over the weekend. For those of you that were out capturing deals from vendors, the report from Apple themselves saying that Apple retail was down, but their Apple online was up. A lot of people staying home, not traveling, using gas or valuable resources to go out and shop, and just basically buying deals online. So that's good for Apple, I guess. And we'll see what you know, how this ends up in their quarterly reporting. But overall, everything that I heard was retailers were generally pleased. Obviously, spending is down, and I was hearing some stuff on national TV today that was talking about, you know, basically average spending across the country was down about $30 per shopper, which is significant, but still, you know, people are out there spending money. But anyway, what did you guys buy? What was your thing that you picked up over the weekend? Now, I have to do a little confession. We didn't really do any Christmas shopping per se, but we did go. There was one thing that we wanted, and my wife and I have had a Dyson vacuum for 5 or 6 years. Love the machine. It's done great. But boy, with the kids running it and moves, it's gotten pretty beat up. It still works fine, but they had a deal on a new generation Dyson that was a couple $100 off, and that's what we picked up. And really, we didn't get out of bed on Friday. We just stayed in bed and lounged around the house until really late afternoon. And I said, well, do you want to go anywhere? And she said, well, let's go and see if we have any of those vacuums left. And we went and picked up a vacuum together. It wasn't just me buying a vacuum. So, no, it wasn't a Christmas present, but that's what I ended up – we ended up really buying. So – That was the extent. Of course, we picked up a few other things too. My kids are getting ready to go to grandma's house, and you know, Christmas presents for the other kids and so for the cousins and stuff was a priority. All right, let's talk a little bit about. I'm sorry, I'm yawning here. I'm dying from jet lag today. I really, really am. But let's talk a little bit about an article or an Ars Technica talking about antivirus. And basically, some testing that was done. AV Comparatives released its November 2009 retrospective proactive comparative. That's a big mouthful. This is actually the second part of a August 2009 study where 16 products were reviewed for detection capability. And here's the thing that kind of blew me away. This test focused on malware specifically, not just, you know, antivirus stuff, but this portion of the test was looking at malware and looking for how it detected signatures. Who came out number one was a company called Avira Antivirus Premium version 9 had a 74% capture rate. Going down the list, GData, Kaspersky, F-Secure, Microsoft Security Essentials, Avast, Bitdefender, eScan, AVG Antivirus, TrustPort Antivirus, and then coming in at number 12, McAfee, only picking up 47% as compared to 74% for Avira, and Symantec coming in at 36% as compared to Avira at 74%. This is for malware detection, and I looked at... I don't ever heard of Avira, A-V-I-R-A. Any of you using this? GData, I'm familiar with Kaspersky. I'm another one called ESET, E-S-E-T. I wonder if that's a Norton product. It says NOD32, so that might be a Norton product. But why don't you guys check this out? This is pretty amazing, these results, and it's tied back to another study as well. So if you're running a Windows machine, you're looking for some better malware antivirus protection, this is a great application, great article to look at. And I guess I challenge everyone out there that's listening to this show, what are you guys using? You know, I've always had Norton on my machines. I guess that was the default thing I've always loaded. Now, I know I'm probably going to get a ton of emails saying, why are you running that bloated pig? you know, I just have. It's just worked. I've never had a virus issue. I assume I've been protected. But what are you guys running out there? Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, I run a multitude of other things from time to time as well for just double-checking. But Bitdefender I've run. Normally, I run the Bitdefender in a, you know, run it up in its own with a boot disk and let it scan machines. It's kind of a thing I do every once in a while. And so far, you know, it's clean, but I'm pretty surprised on those results. Hey, let's talk about the LHC. And, of course, we're talking about the Hadron Collider. And the folks over there are pretty excited. They've reached an energy record by being able to, and this is how they measure this, at 1.18 TeV. This is a record for Earth-bound particular accelerators. Now, has there been space-bound particle accelerators? You know, I think this is like the only classification, right? So they're excited that they've reached this milestone. The Hadron Collider is capable of going all the way up to 7.0 TeV, and or 7.5 TeV, excuse me. And it says it's going to take them over the next year to get to that level. They want to know where the science is going to be really start collected at, and they feel that when they get to about the 3.0 TeV level, and basically that's the energy level, they're going to be able to start collecting a significant amount of science. And then hopefully once they get all the way up to full operating power, it may take as much as a year to detect the Higgs boson, if it exists at all. And, of course, Higgs boson is what they're, you know, you can Google that. And this is what they're searching for to prove this theory. So we'll see what happens with this. All right. Anyway. Let's go ahead and move on to the next article. Hey, the ICANN has ruled, and I kind of caught this earlier. Maybe we talked about it in the last show, but ICANN is going to prohibit non-existent domain redirected to a new landing domain. So what has happened is I know on Time Warner at least, if I type in the wrong .com, I put in, let's say, Google.com, and I put in G-O-O-G-Z or whatever it may be, and I'm sure someone has registered that domain. If that domain doesn't exist, what Time Warner would do is it would basically send me over to a different landing page of their own with the search results and ads on it. Well, the ICANN has said, no, you cannot do that. It says all your DNS errors belong to us. You are not allowed to do this, and there is going to be an MOU put out explaining why they're not allowed to do this. So systems like SiteFinder that was used by some ISPs is not going to be allowed to be utilized any longer. And one thing that will probably happen is that you're going to have to watch for some sort of an opt-out button to punch on these sites so that you can opt out. Many of them have that option now. That this is going to be something that's going to come out from the ICANN pretty soon. You know, and when I've done that before, usually the page they send me to doesn't give me great results. You know, it's not like Google. If I type in the wrong thing, it says, do you mean Google or do you mean such and such? I don't just see that happening. Now, as you all know, I have had at least two vendors come out to my house to talk about solar. And times I've just absolutely choked underneath the price, the payback period, everything that goes along with solar. It ends up with a lot of zeros behind a number starting with a 2 or a 3, usually $20,000 to $35,000 or even close to $40,000 for solar install. And don't know about you, but I just don't have an extra like $35,000 laying around to put on top of my house. But they're saying the cost of installing and owning solar panels is going to fall even more. And I had to laugh here because when the guy priced out my solar, he did it on a 30-year lifespan of the solar panels. I guess a lot of the companies have only been using 20, so of course you're saying, oh, it's going to last 30 years. It's going to make the cost seem less over a 30-year period. But how many of us own the same home for 30 years? on average, you know, Americans have traded up homes every 6 to 7 years, moved from jobs as well. There's very, very few people that stay in the same home for 30 years. And right now, according to at least the realtors that I'm talking to, even if you have a fully outfitted solar system on your home, it doesn't necessarily add to your bottom line and your house value. It doesn't equate dollar for dollar an increase. Now, maybe there's a realtor listening to the show that can tell me exactly how much it evaluation is going to add to my house. But if your home is older than 10 years, what's more likely going to happen is not only going to incur the cost of the solar panels, but you're also going to incur the cost of a new roof, because most solar providers will not put a solar panels on a roof that's older than 10 years. They want to make sure that you know, that roof is good for at least 20 or 25 years. So they think, though, due to manufacturing, due to the Chinese getting into the business, that actual panel price could come down as much as 30% in the next couple of years. So 30%, take away, you know, if you throw a number like 30,000 and you say 30% less, then you're getting into a price range that maybe is a little more palatable over a, you know, if you're going to have a payback over 9 years versus a, you know, a $30,000 or $35,000 price. So we'll see what happens with solar pricing, but they feel this is going to drop. The problem here in the United States is that the solar industry is so tightly controlled. Right now, I believe that the solar panels are grossly inflated in price just because of its there's so few vendors out there that have solar available. All right, let's talk a little bit about Hulu, and will free online content like Hulu dry up? There is some indication that the route Hulu is going to go is they're going to be charging for what they're calling premium content, and content that is kind of like blah or normal content is going to remain free. So that looks like the model that Hulu is going to go to. So I know many of you use Hulu on a regular basis, so we'll see where Hulu progresses on that. But we're already starting to see newspapers, specifically in the UK. Johnston Press has started charging for online local news. This is one of UK's biggest newspapers. And they're going to charge access to online content for 6 of its titles. They're going to make their subscribers pay £5 for a 3-month subscription to read the full articles online, or force them into buying the newspapers directly. So sites in a pilot scheme include Workshop Guardian, Ripley and Heiner News, the Whitby Gazette. And I don't know how many of you are affected by that. I know we have some Scotland listeners too, so there's going to be a couple of papers in Scotland that this company owns that will be affected. Specifically, the Carrick Gazette and Southern Reporter are taking part. So if you've been used to reading those particular periodicals or newspapers online, get ready to shell out £5 per 3 months. Okay, let's talk a little bit about moving on here. Let's talk a little bit about people complaining online. And I had to laugh because sometimes you see these puff pieces, and it always happens around the holidays. And it's like it's something that they've kept in the can, and they specifically posted during a slow news weekend or a slow news Monday. So this is kind of what I would call a puff piece by the folks over at CNET. And this should come as no shock to any of us. People complain more online than offline. Okay, I think we all knew that, right? It does say that 43% of U.S.-based web users feel less inhibited online. It has also found that the effect is more prominent among females and users aged 25 to 54. Now, one thing I found interesting was during my Sprint activation of this new junk card was that as I was we were waiting on my computer to reboot, and for some reason the computer was being slow. But her and I were talking, and I said, how do you deal with irate customers? And because I says I couldn't do it. I said I would last about a day, and I would end up screaming at someone and being fired. And she goes, believe it or not, she says, guys are not an issue. She says, it's the ladies who I have the most trouble with. She says, those are the ones that scream at me the most. And I thought, huh, fellas, are your significant others a more, heavy complainer to companies on the phone or online? I'd like to have a little internal survey here based upon this article and my discussion with my good Sprint representative who was on. And she was terrific, by the way. She did a great job, even though this was a junk card, the Sprint U300. See, Sprint, see what happens when you turn out junk? You get talked about bad on a show that reaches 150,000 people. How many people do you think is going to buy this card? And you can call me. We can talk about it. Yes, we can. Junk. So, anyway, fellas, how many of your significant others or girlfriends complain more than you do? And I'm the one in my house. I have a blog. I have this beautiful audience that listens to this show. So, you guys know I like to complain like I just complained. And my significant other, she doesn't complain too much. At least maybe I don't see it, but I don't think she does. All right, the question I get asked a lot, and this comes, I get relatives asking me this, I get friends asking me this, how to repair scratch CD or DVD. We all have our little tricks, right? Well, the folks over at Digital Trends, they've got a great little article that I'll link you to that'll help you in repairing a scratch CD or DVD. And really, you can recover most CDs and DVDs by just doing this very simple little procedure, four-step procedure to clean them up. All right, NASA has taken possession of Tranquility, and Tranquility is a new a major component for the International Space Station. It's going to be delivered in February by the shuttle if everything goes right. When delivered to the International Space Station, the pressurized node will provide additional room for the crew. And many of the space station's life support and environmental control systems already on board, so that stuff's going to get moved into there. And this thing's huge. It's 22 feet in length and about 14 feet in diameter. But the thing that's amazing about this is it's got six big windows on the sides and one on the top. And it's going to be used kind of an area where they can control the robotic arm as more remote vehicles are delivering stuff to the International Space Station. And it's going to be a room with a view. So everyone's pretty excited about this final node that will be going up to the International Space Station, at least in the near future until we get some more lift capacity. But that's the plan. All right, we talked a little bit about FCC white space, and I probably didn't do a very good job describing it last time. And we've talked about this on previous shows, but let's talk a little bit more about mobile and wireless and the white space. Now, we all know that the broadcasters were forced to go to digital TV. So now everything that is coming over the air is in a digital frequency spectrum. Well, there are areas in that spectrum that is basically little slivers of frequency that is left available that's white space. And we talked about how there's been device testing done in those frequency ranges so that a device can basically what's going to happen is that the device is going to be network aware. It's going to go out and reach out to the network and say, okay, where are the white spaces in the area that I am in now? And it's going to a database is going to send back that information, and then the device is actually going to be able to pick a frequency that's safe for it to operate in. And the digital TV folks are, of course, they have lost their mind. They don't want this to happen, but it is a way for the FCC to kind of dole out a little bit more frequency spectrum. And the FCC is going to basically have several companies that are going to be maintaining the database, and it's going to be privately owned and operated service. Data administrators may charge fees for the register, and so it's going to be kind of an interesting deal here. But this has been an ongoing process with the FCC to basically selecting administrators for this. I think it's out for contract or something like that. But that's what's going to happen. So our devices, there's so much spectrum in use, there's not a lot left. So every little sliver we can get back for our stuff like this is going to help us all a lot. So I look forward to this moving forward. Now, we talked about on the last show how you could run the Google Chrome OS on your Windows machine with a USB drive, basically a memory stick, a 4-gig memory stick. Well, they've load, and those of you that don't have a 4-gig stick, now you can stick it on a minimum of 1-gig flash memory stick. So, you know, 4-gig sticks are cheap. If you didn't get one over the weekend, watch the sales circulars because they're really, really inexpensive. But what they're doing now is they're trying to get Google Chrome OS running on a Mac. And they feel they're real close. It's going to lack a few features, according to the folks over at Macworld. And a few things it won't be able to do, like doing offline mail, using Google Gears and some stuff like that. So you will be able to stick, force your Mac to boot up via USB and boot into Chrome OS on your Mac here in very short order. Oh, you know, this next article is going to gross some of you out. How many of you remember The Matrix? How they were eating like a gruel, contained everything you need, like vitamins. You know, they had that gruel they ate there in the show and in the movie. And it was, you know, everyone to imagine tasting steak, or, you know, because they didn't have any access to any, you know, fresh meat. But now scientists, I'm not kidding here. Scientists have managed to grow a form of meat in a laboratory for the first time. Researchers in the Netherlands created what was described as a soggy pork, and now are investigating ways to improve the muscle tissue in the hope that people will one day want to eat it. No one has yet tasted the product, but it's believed the artificial meat could be on sale within 5 years, and this is in hopes to help vegetarian groups have access to meat if they're vegetarians on basis of not wanting to slaughter animals, because some vegetarians are, you know, vegetarians because they want to be, and some are vegetarians because they want to be because they're against the slaughter of animals. So, where are we going here with this? Meat grown in a petri dish does not seem too appetizing to me. But they're saying this product is going to be good for the environment, reduce animal suffering, or reduce cattle flatulence. You know, you watch, in 20 years, the environmentalists will all have us eating this stuff. And probably not wanting us to raise any cattle to have real meat, we'll have to eat this meat grown in a laboratory instead. Oh, my God. Hey, this is maybe good for astronauts going to Mars. Oh, my God. Someone said in the Ustream chat room, it tastes like chicken. All right, this is the next topic of the day that I want everybody to respond to. How many of you are basically paid for 40 hours a week? In other words, you're a non-exempt employee, and yet when you go home, your companies expect for you to be on call, to take calls at home, do tech support, maybe whatever it may be, and you don't get paid for those hours. How many of you are, of course, anyone that's exempt that is working? Really, you can work as many hours as your company wants you to work and you're willing to work. But how many of you are finding that if you're basically working a salary, getting paid for 40 hours a week, how many of you being forced to work more hours from home doing tech support? And this was from an article that was written to, I guess there's some lady that has a newspaper pre-article that's called Fortune Dear Annie. I talked about an independent webmaster who was expected to be on call for his client at all hours of the day and night. But how many of you have an employer that's like that, that calls you all hours, day or night, and you're on salary and you don't get paid for it? What's your thoughts on that? Do you do it just to keep your job, or what? All right, let's go ahead and talk. Let me look at the time here. How are we doing for time? Yeah, we're doing good. Okay, let's talk a little bit about SciStar. Did you know they only sold 768 Mac clones? All this hoopla about this company, and they've only sold 768 clones. Now, apparently, they were getting their investors all hyped up to invest in this company, saying that they were thinking they were going to be able to sell 70,000 machines in 2009, 470,000 machines in 2010, and 1.45 million in 2011. 768 machines in 2009 is a long way from 70,000 machines. Those guys could really talk, and now they're probably going to end up really paying. Why are they even fighting over 768 machines? My goodness. Talk about a business failure in itself. It's amazing. All right, the gamers out there, all of you that are hardcore overclockers, those of you that really like to press your machines to get every ounce of performance out of it that you can, ASUS is releasing the Maximus 3 Extreme Mobile. That's Bluetooth cell phones tweaked settings. So you can be able to run this motherboard, and you're going to be able to tweak the settings of it via Bluetooth via your phone. This is a geek's gift for the holidays. And so you basically, all you got to do is your phone to tweak the performance of your motherboard for the machine you're running. I guess I don't understand the purpose of why that's so special, but everyone's talking about it today, so I thought I would share it with you. And that was via Engadget. All right, over on the folks at Electronista, reporting that Intel's desktop roadmap has been leaked. Talking about the introduction of how the new cores and how the new chips are going to be put out and at what schedule. So if you think that we have enough speed underneath the hood of our computers right now, you really need to look at what's happening here with the Core i7, with faster i5s that are going to be coming soon, and the introduction of the i3. They have some amazing things planned for us here in the future. So definitely, as a disclaimer, I do own Intel stock, so that is a disclaimer on the show. But anyway, definitely check out this article. Have the link up for you in the show notes if you're interested in the Intel roadmap for where they're going to go with their chips. All right, how many of you parents, kids fall down in the yard, they get a skinned knee, they come in, you know, they're crying, and you know, you fix them up, you get the knee cleaned up, and you go to reach for your drawer, and you pull out the old trusty Band-Aid box, and you open it up, and you've got this itsy-bitsy little Band-Aid with about a 1-inch by 1-inch thing that you have to try to put against this 2-inch scar. Well, the, you know, good moms out there will have the big ace bandages, you know, be all prepared, you know. But us fellas, we usually have just the, you know, the little itsy-bitsy one-by-one Band-Aids ready, right? Or, as real men, you don't need a Band-Aid, right? It's what you tell the boys. A company's come out with a customized Band-Aid. And I'm looking at this thing, and I'm thinking, that's exactly what I need at my house. Because I got two boys, and they are boys. My daughter doesn't get, you know, too crazy, but the boys will be boys. And every once in a while, there's a need for a Band-Aid. This custom Band-Aid will allow you to, essentially, just like a piece of tape, pull it off as far as you need. You clamp the little, you press the little button, and it makes you a Band-Aid the exact size. How cool is that? That, my friends, is what all fellas need to have at their house. Your wives will love this. Very inexpensive. You can order it online. Pick one up today. I have a link to it in the show notes. Very cool stuff. All right. How many of you would have your car and have a cam that would be in your vehicle that's recording all times, and when it detected a high G impact, would mark your GPS location, would continue to record after the vehicle had stopped, basically capturing all the gory details of your accident. How many of you would have one of these car cams in your car? Now, I could see where a car cam might be cool to record something where you're on a nice scenic drive. You know, if the lighting's right, not getting glare from the windshield. But why would I want to have, that's just asking for trouble. If you are the person at fault in an accident, people love to sue these days, And a picture spells a thousand words, a picture's worth, you got my point, right? A picture's worth a thousand words. Why would you record video of yourself driving and then have video, if you're the one getting hit, well, that would be a bonus, but it could, obviously be used against you in a much bigger way. I don't know. And they're saying that this could, this technology could become mandatory in vehicles within the next 10 years. They're already using our computers against us. They're already using those. So like our cameras next, where we're going to be recorded everything we do in a vehicle. Talk about Big Brother watching you. And this could be a good product, actually, for those of you that have teenage daughters that are dating. That might be a good thing to have in the car. Okay, over on GigaOhm, there's this town in the Midwest. It's Waterloo. Where is it? Waterloo, Iowa, I think. Yeah, Waterloo, Iowa. I've never heard of Waterloo, Iowa before. I like living in a kind of a small, I like small towns, and grew up as a country boy, but I've always said the only way I could ever go back to living in a place that's rural is if I had a big, fat internet pipe, and really, it doesn't exist today in most rural areas. Well, the town of Waterloo, Iowa is going to be the fastest internet town in the Midwest. The company's coming in is going to be wiring the city up. And they are going to have, let's see, what is the speed they're going to have? They're going to have 101 megs, no, excuse me. They're going to have 105 megs down and 10 megs up. Now, you want to talk about growing the growth of rural America? If I was a small town and I was a suburbia, and my town was within striking distance of a city, and let's say 30 to 45 minutes away from a city that had, good base of jobs. I think if I was a small town, as a council member, I would bring in big, fat internet, and then I would advertise that to everyone. Property prices would go up. People would move into those little towns, bring life into those little towns, bring maybe businesses into those little towns. But, I don't think many city councils can think that far in front of their noses. But these folks in Waterloo, Iowa, they're going to have, the entire town is going to have 105 megs down, 10 megs up. If they can do it in Waterloo, Iowa, they can do it in any city in the United States. We need or town. And if you're on a city council, you want to grow growth in your area, you get a big, fat internet pipe into your community, and people will move. If I ever move back to the lower 48, you can be guaranteed where I move is going to be in a town that has a big, fat internet connection. That's for sure. Maybe that's not important to everybody, but I think for a lot of us, it is. Okay, anybody do any shopping today? Any of you do any cyber shopping? Any of you go out and find any good deals? What was your best deals you found today? I did no shopping today online. And Just let me know if you did. Hey, by the way, any podcasters listening, I have a Mackie Onyx 1202, 12-channel mixer for sale. It's less than a year old. I've had to upgrade to a 16-channel. Didn't want to, but because of the way the configuration is going to be set up now with the new system that I have installed there in Hawaii, I've had to go to a 16-channel. Actually, I need to have four aux sends is what I have to have. And those of you that know what that means, you know what it means. But I've got an Onyx FireWire capable. Doesn't have the FireWire module, but I got Onyx 1202, fairly brand new. as well, less than a year old. I want $400 for it. Email me at geeknews@gmail.com. First person to pay or call up for it, you get it, and I will deliver it. I will guarantee delivery that it works. And so anyone that's looking for a 1202, make a great deal. Again, $400 on that unit. All right, let's talk about how to register your website, domain name, guide to the best resources. I know many of you are thinking about a domain name. You're thinking about registering one. You know, you need to think about what you're going to, what your purpose of that domain name is going to be, and how to search for one, if it's going to be commercial, nonprofit, if it's going to be just for fun. And the Robin Good has a great article over here on some resources to utilize when you're picking a domain for your business, personal use, blog, etc. And check it out. Of course, if you take his advice and follow some of the stuff, make sure you use my GoDaddy promo code when you get to the checkout counter at GoDaddy.com. Now, this next one is going to, this last story of the night, I think is going to set a lot of people on fire, and you're just going to not believe it. Personally, I don't believe it. I don't think it's possible. As much as I love T-Mobile, because they've got great plans at great rates for families, I've never had a problem with their audio. Obviously, their mobile stuff just hardly even exists. But an article on thestreet.com is saying that Apple iPhone may go to T-Mobile next. Yes, you heard me say that correctly. The folks over at The Street seem to think that AT&T is going to lose its exclusive agreement, and that instead of Verizon, that the next vendor will be T-Mobile. I don't think T-Mobile can make a move fast enough to be able to support. If they announced today that they were going to sell the iPhone in a year in the United States, I just don't think they'd be ready. You want to talk about getting slaughtered. Let's say they made it available. A lot of us would switch. Some of us are T-Mobile fans. A lot of us would switch, and guess what we would do? We would switch right back to AT&T because I think the service would not support it. The mobile function wouldn't support it. So I don't know. I think it's a drop if they decided to do this. But anyway, that's the rumor on the street at thestreet.com. All right, let me get into the emails tonight, and we'll wrap this up. Again, no voicemails. If you have a comment on tonight's show, geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, the voicemail hotline is +1-619-342-7365. Got an email from Steve. He says, hey, Todd, it's been a while ago now, but I didn't hear any more mention of the upgrade media you got for Windows 7. I wanted to let you know that you can use any version of the upgrade disk with any machine that owns a copy of any version of XP or Vista. So you can use the copy of Windows 7 Professional on your laptop with Vista Home Premium. The only issue is that if you want to do a in-place upgrade where you change from 32 to 64-bit, or if you want to downgrade the version of Windows. Paul Thurrott has a lot of info on this and how to perform a clean install with upgrade media. If you do not want to do an in-place upgrade, see, and he gives me the link. The problem is I want to do an upgrade where I don't have to go through and reinstall everything. Am I missing something here, folks? If I do a clean install, well, I don't think it will port any of this stuff. It does a clean, clean install. It wipes everything, right? Who's done this? I have not. I'm going to read this article he links me to. I'll share this with everyone else. But what has your guys' experience been with upgrading Windows 7 to Windows 7 from a XP or a Vista machine? If you had to do a clean install, did it pull in as many apps as it could, or did you just essentially end up with a fresh install and backup procedures and everything else? You know, I don't know. Hey, I want to thank Sam and James. They both have sent me backgrounds for the – we're trying to come up with a new name. I'm trying to come up – and we'll do this, see if we can get some suggestions before the next show. You guys know that I've called my two-channel Skype-saurus. Now, Leo Laporte termed that word. He doesn't claim any copyright or nothing like on that. But, you know, I thought, you know, maybe we ought to call my little system that I built for the 24-hour podcast, be able to have two Skype callers on video in the 24-hour podcast, on live, you know, in person, something different. And we ought to come up with a different name than Skypesaurus for the two-port Skype machine. You have a suggestion? I'd love to hear it. Go ahead and fire me an email. We'll have a little, let's do a little contest. Maybe we can't get it by the next show, but let's go a couple of shows. It's got to be by next week because we're going to do the 24-hour podcast on the 12th. So we got to have it called something. So let's come up with a name with it. I'll put $50 on the table. You guys make your guess or your suggestion. You're gonna have to do a little homework here if you don't know what Skype Source is. Skypesaurus. I built a 2-channel versus a 4-channel. So let's come up with something jazzy. I'll pick one of these suggestions. Again, we'll give it until the next show. Next Tuesday. On the Monday night show, I will pick a winner. So geeknews@gmail.com with your suggestions. And a couple of other emails. One was from one of our vision impaired folks talking about a accessibility issue on Geek News Central. I'm going to look into that and find out what's going on, especially being able to leave comments. He couldn't see the comment field for the email address, so we actually didn't read it to on his screenwriter, so I'll find out what's going on with that. That should be happening. I thought that was all, basically had no accessibility issues. If you find stuff like that on Geek News Central, if you're hearing or vision impaired, let me know, okay? Because I'm sensitive to that, and I want to make sure that the Geek News Central website is a good experience for listeners, viewers, and the whole family, the Ohana out there. So we'll get that fixed. We just got to figure out what's going on there. Okay, I think that's it. I think that's all I've got tonight. I read that on the last show, so we're good here. Geeknews@gmail.com. Not a lot of comments. Of course, many of you are on vacation over the weekend, and I understand that. I'll hang out here on Ustream a little bit with everyone if you want me to for a little while. And it's been my pleasure bringing the show, of course. And we'll be back with you here from Central Texas on Thursday for an early recording of the show for those of you that want to join the live stream and come out and hang out with me. But for the rest of you that are part of the audio audience, hey, thanks for staying subscribed and being part of the Ohana. And like I said during the Thanksgiving show, I appreciate every one of you. You guys really help me keep the lights on and doing what I'm doing. And really, you guys are the base of the show, the core of the show. And I'm deeply humbled that you like to listen to the podcast. I really am. And thank you for putting up with my Toddisms and everything else. And anyway, I think we're on time tonight. Looking at the timer here, let me open this up. Yeah, we're actually short. I'm shortchanging you 8 minutes tonight. I didn't go to an hour and 15. That's okay. You guys got lots of other stuff to listen to. Until next time, everyone take care. Be safe out there. And let me know what you scored on your holiday shopping, all right? Take care, and aloha.